Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And
welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. I kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. And as the old people used to say, I'm done told you. It's God's grace and mercy that has brought us to this very moment, this very hour. And we know that God's mercy is adjusted every morning. God's compassion is new every day, and God's compassion is new every morning. And God works best when we are hopeless and helpless. That's when he comes through. And so thank you for being on the program this morning. It's still black as three midnights outside, but the sun is dawning. It's going to come up here in just a few minutes. When we talk about the idea of grace and mercy, of course, God gave us the church. That's one of his ways of showing mercy to us. And so we want to give this idea a thought. This church that we're a part of, is it from God or is it from man? And the thought comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority do thou do these things? And who give thee this authority?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or from man?" And they reasoned among themselves and said, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why didn't you believe it? But if we shall say of man, we feared the people, for they hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell," which was a lie. "We cannot tell." And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." That's what I was. You don't have to answer every question that somebody asks you. Don't get bogged down on those questions that seem to have, be like a bottomless pit that they don't seem to have no answer, because sometimes somebody's trying to justify their own works, trying to justify their own being. And we need to let the Bible fit us, and not us trying to fit the Bible, basically. And so we'll reach down sometime and pull out some passages that we think that just fit our situation. But don't get bogged down with that, because we see in this passage one lesson that we learn is that Jesus don't answer a bunch of foolish questions, questions that really have no end. He, as a matter of fact, he already knew their heart because they were trying to be deceptive. But the church, is it from God or is it from man? Well, we know that Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit is still alive and well. There's no death there. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find that in Luke 24, verses 5 through 6, when he says, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He is risen." So we know that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are alive and well. One of the old gospel preachers was asked one time and was told, "You know God is dead, don't you?" He said, "I didn't know that. I just talked to him this morning, and he never brought that up." So we know that God is still alive and well. He promised one in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He purchased one in Acts 20, verse number 28. The apostles established one in Acts 2 and verse 38. And the Bible reveals one in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 4, when he said, "There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, in the one hope of your calling." And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 to 22, "If Christ be not risen," he says, "then your preaching is vain, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sins." And so we know this God's grace and mercy that brought us this church. And then Christ prayed for one in John 17, 20, and verses 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all might be one as the Father in me and I in thee, that they all might be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. If any church established by any other than Christ, any other place than Jerusalem, any other time than the first Pentecost after the resurrection, of course it cannot be of the church of Christ. And the church from heaven or from man? Is the church built on earth today? If not, no church has a divine right to exist. If not, all churches are human and no salvation found in them at all. In Psalm 127, verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In Matthew 15, verse number 13, he said, but he answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, and he said, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So here's the question on the table this morning of the church that we're part of. Was it man made, or did it come from heaven? I believe that it involves the question of church succession. But then here's the question: can any church trace a line of succession from the 20th century back to the apostles? Can anybody take a line or a thread, or however you want to do it, and go all the way back to the apostles? Well, I believe that it's not necessary to trace a line of succession all the way back. We just need to think and rationalize this thing. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, I believe that if you want to find out if the church is from heaven or if it's from man, of course you need to have, we can trace succession. If you have a pattern, you have to have a pattern. In Hebrews 8 and verse number 5, who served unto us an example and showed of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make tabernacle. For said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern of which I showed thee in the mount. And that's in Exodus 25 and verse 37 through 40. He said, make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Now, here's the thing. If you have a pattern, you can produce the exact same thing. You don't have to have a line going all the way back to that. We have to have a pattern. We have several ladies on this program this morning, and I don't know if many of you still sew. Very few sew today, but used to, just about every garment that an individual put on, it had some kind of sewing going on with it. Ladies' dresses, you'd go down to the store, you'd go down to Hancock's or somewhere, and you'd pick up a pattern. You thumb through them, and you say, oh, I like that dress, and you like the way the shoulders on it, and you like the length of it, and you like all that. So when you pull that pattern out, all of those things in there are pretty much a pre-cut for you to make that pattern. Now, you can have the exact same dress on the front of that paper if you follow what was inside of that paper. But if for some reason or another, once you start to make that dress, and you decide that the sleeves are maybe too long, so you cut them short. You think that maybe the length of it is too long, so you started cutting it short. You make some other adjustments around on that dress. It's not going to come out exactly like on the front of that paper. Why? It's because you've been fooling with it. You've changed some things. You didn't do it according to the pattern. And that's where we get off on this thing. That's where the churches have gotten off. Certain men have said that God has spoken to them and told him to do this, this, this in religion. And some of them think that Jesus was just another man, just like John was a forerunner of Christ. Then they say that Christ was a forerunner of them with their particular church. And so they come in and then they start making up their own rules and regulations and bylaws as to how their church to go. But I'm suggesting to you, if you have a pattern, and you follow that pattern to the letter, you're going to come up with the exact same ending with a beautiful dress that you see on the front of that cover. Same way it is with a baseball rule book. You can find a baseball rule book just laying out in a desert somewhere. You can stumble up on it, and you probably have never known the game of baseball. It wasn't in your climate to do that. But if you found that book, if you found that baseball rule book, and you follow it, and you put first base, second base, third base, home plate, the pitcher's mound, you get your catcher, you get your hitter, you get your first and second, and you get you some right and left fielders, you get your center field. If you read that baseball rule book and you follow that book, never having known the game of baseball, you could establish that exactly like it's in the book. But now, if you decide that you want to change some things, you don't want this. You don't want first base. You don't want second base. You don't want the pitcher's mound this distance. You want it closer. You want if when you start to change those things, that's where we get messed up in religion. We can read the Bible. All of us can read the Bible. Most of us interpret the Bible a little bit different. And then the next thing you know, we come up with what satisfies us, which makes us comfortable, and the Bible is really not designed to make you comfortable. Now, that's a misnomer for some people. When you read the Bible, there are two things that you can do. You can come away from the Bible feeling lifted up. We're gonna claim some things that the Bible tell you, or you can come from the Bible just feeling totally terrible because it has told you about your sins. It has brought your life to light, and so that's what it is. So here's what we're saying is, if you got the pattern, like Noah in the ark in Genesis 6, verses 9 through 22, he said, "Thus did Noah according to all that God had commanded him, so did he." In Genesis 7, verse number 5, "And Noah did all unto all that the Lord had commanded him." In 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 2, here's the thing. Here's the deal. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That passage lets me know that for some reason or another, there's some men that are not faithful. Thus, the men have made some adjustments, have made some changes in what God has said and what they have seen. He says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Why do we have so many religious divisions among us today? It's because we have somebody who has left the pattern. We have some people who have decided they don't like the pattern this way. They like for it to fit them this way. And so that's the reason why that we have a lot of different religious bodies among us today. And we pray God that we'll get back on track. We pray God that we'll get back to the pattern like he showed us, and that we'd be faithful men, and that we committed to our generation so that the next generation will have the same pattern that we have. And so that's the lesson for today. Is the church on earth today? Yes. Can we identify it? Yes, we can, because we have a pattern, and God has left us a pattern. All we have to do is be faithful in passing it on to the next generation. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, to keep our eyes on the prize, to stay on track, not jump the ship, but to stay with the pattern that you have given us, and it will last throughout endless ages. Continue to be with those who may be going to the hospital, the hospice, home care, on this very day. This is going to be a wonderful day. We're going to already claim it. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming again. And have a super duper day.